Hello, everyone. This is Gruesome Herzog. My very special guest is a lovely actress, Nicola Wright. She's from the Vigo, UK. She's been in a lot of films that I've been reviewing. There's tons more. Nicola, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. How did you get started in the movie industry?
I went to drama school when I was really young. It was stage school, really, when I was 16. So I came out and went straight into weekly rep theatre. So obviously over the years, I've done lots of theatre. And my first telly, I was probably about 18, doing Dick Turpin, which was a TV show that we had over here at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And it's just, that's been my career ever since. So it's mixed up between theatre, film, telly, commercials, radio. Yeah, all of it.
Nice. Now, I noticed that later on in your career, when it comes to like the late 2000s, you've worked with Scott Jeffrey or Scott Summers. Is that he goes by two names, I'm assuming?
Yeah, Scott Jeffries is his producer. That's what he's known as a producer. And then Scott Chambers, because he has a very good acting career himself, that's right. His acting name.
I got it. So where do you want to start? What movie do you want to talk about first?
I don't mind. I mean, if you want to talk about films I've done with Scott, I mean, I met him probably only about... I think it was just the year before. It was probably 2019, I think, through, do you know Tom Jolliffe, who's a writer of a lot of the films?
Yes.
So Tom had cast me in a completely different type of film, a comedy. It was a Thai film. So most of it was in Thai, but they had a few English actors. And he cast me in that. And then Tom said to me, oh, you know, I know this company, which was Becky and Rebecca Matthews, that is, and Scott Jeffries, who've got Proportion Productions, who are a company that put out a lot of horror movies. Would you be interested? And that was how I first met Scott and Becky. And that was on, is it Silent Place? I think it was called, I forget. Yeah, because the name was very similar to A Quiet Place. That's right. So I think it was A Silent Place. Quite a small part of that one, but that was my first.
Yeah, it was Don't Speak, right, Mary?
Oh, yeah. It was called Silent Place first.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, they did change it to Don't Speak. That's right. You're right. So that was my first one.
Yeah, I saw you in that one. That's the very first one I ever saw you in. Then I went to Cupid.
Oh, that was the second. Again, that was quite a small part. I think Scott tried kind of like tests you out a bit to see whether or not you're willing to just be adaptable and go with the fast pace of the way that they work. So, I did those two. And then the next one was The Bad Nun or Bad Nun 2, whatever it was called in the US.
Bad Nun 2. Deadly Revision or
Deadly Vows.
That's it. That I watched the other day. Finally, I watched the first one, and I absolutely loved that one. I had a podcast, Pick My Podcast, with my nephew. We did that review for that one, and that show ended. And then I stayed on the Gruesome Herzog, but Dead End is a Dead Nun. Oh my God,
Bad Nun. It's a very bad nun.
It has so many different names when you go on the IMDb. It's called.
I know. It's a bit confusing.
But then I watched the second one the other day, and I said, "Man, this is like I said to you, Nicola. That was probably one of your biggest and better roles." I'm saying that they're not better. I should say they're. You really got into character in that movie.
It was
really
a nice. Yeah, it was a nice role, that one. And because it was quite a small cast, of which I'm, you know, certainly very good friends with a couple of them, it was really just such a lovely one to be on, to be honest. It was good because it was all contained in that house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's one. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the other one that was a really nice role for me was Humpty Dumpty, Curse of
Yes.
Humpty Dumpty.
We'll get
That
to
was
that
really,
one.
yeah.
That one I love too. So now I've never seen the Witches of Amityville Academy. What is that about?
That one, I kind of, that was more of a cameo for me. So that one was produced by the three American actors, Kira and Donna and Maggie, I think it was. And they came with this idea to Scott and Becky, who then exec produced it. Sorry, they exec produced it and were in it. So it was very much their baby. And they have the leading roles along with Sarah Cohen, who was also in Bad Nun.
Yep, I see a lot of
She's
movies of
great.
her.
She's great in it. So I kind of play the really elderly witch that they come to, the sort of senior witch that they come and ask advice for. So I've got a quite a nice scene in it, but again, it wasn't a huge part. It was just a nice cameo, and I look horrendous in it, so that was fun.
And you played Tilde von Erich.
Hilda, that's right. Yes, I did.
Well, the next one I have not seen yet, but I have it. It's called Medusa.
Oh, Medusa was great fun. Very different for them. That was set in a we filmed in a caravan park, and it's set in a sort of brothel, really, that all the we use the caravans for business. And one of the girls workers gets bitten by a snake, and I won't tell you anymore. And I play the madame who is in charge of the girls. So that was a
Nice.
very different part. I loved it.
Yeah, that's on my watch list too. He
Oh, I
has
think you'll like it.
so
It's different. And Megan is phenomenal in it. Megan Purvis, who I've worked with
many.
many times, even before I was working with Scott, I sort of brought Megan in on a few of them. She's a great actress.
Yes, and the next one that I did review, I think you know about, is Conjuring the Genie.
Oh, yes.
I am watching.
I can't remember who I was in that.
Sue Adams.
Yes. Look at my face, blank. I can't remember. Obviously didn't it didn't. Oh, yeah, no, I do. Remember that was with Megan.
Yep.
Yep, and my husband comes back with lovely Jamie Robertson.
That
Yes.
was
Hmm.
I think that was the second film that I've seen you in, believe it or not. I think it was second one. And I can remember you in the kitchen talking to your daughter.
That's right. Ah, I
No.
can't. Yes, it's all
I
coming back
actually
to me
remember that.
actually.
I
Now
actually
that
remember
was,
that.
I suppose, significant because that was the first film during the pandemic when everything had shut down. And in the UK, in the July, I think it was, we were told that we could go back to filming. Obviously, mainstream telly was not going back, but Scott decided that he wanted to get going again. And
Yeah.
so that's when he formed Jagged Edge, which is another production company, which is Scott's. So it was separate to Becky. Becky is with Proportion. And Conjuring the Genie was the first film that we did under the umbrella of Jagged Edge, but also during the pandemic. So we were literally masked up. It's probably why I don't remember much of it. We weren't allowed to socialize that much. It was all that trying to keep 3 meters up to a point distance, although it didn't always happen. But it
Right.
was, yeah, it was kind of the, as I said, the first film done. Oh, see, nearly knocked the computer over, under the COVID conditions. And so sort of testing as you got to set was all
Yeah.
new. And in fact, I don't think we could even test this. We got with sex. They hadn't even made them yet. We had to go to a center and queue up and
Oh,
test.
geez. Wow.
Yeah. And yeah. So I think that's probably why it's all a bit of a blur. We didn't interact with each other that much.
It makes it
Yeah.
hard. It makes it hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's another one that I have not yet watched, but I have it. It's called Hatched. You played Rebecca.
Hatched. Yeah. I did a couple of the dinosaur ones. In fact, the first one, that I was supposed to do was the other one, the Jurassic Island, I think it is. Yes. So when we were doing Witches, when we were doing The Gardener in the January of 2020, we were all supposed to go, the cast of that one, to, where was it? Somewhere lovely, abroad, basically, and shoot this one on a beautiful island. We were all very overexcited about that, as you can imagine. That was going to be in the April. And then in this March, when we were filming The Gardener, all the news was beginning to come out about COVID. And literally within weeks, we were shut down. But I can remember saying, I don't think we're going to be going anywhere in April, May. And Scott at the time said, oh, I'm sure it'll have all blown over. Well, obviously, it didn't. So that one hatched in the end was before Jurassic Island. Again, hatched, I didn't do so much in. I had probably a bit more in Jurassic Island. But again, it was with Megan and Georgie, who's another great actress, playing my daughters. But yeah, I kind of always wanted, when Scott mentioned a dinosaur film, I was like, yeah, I'm in. I don't care what it is, I'm doing it. Who else gets to be in a dinosaur film unless you're on some huge multi-million pound production? So for the sake of my son and my, you know, kids who think that dinosaurs are cool, then I had to do it.
Well, the next one is the one that we talked most about when I first started talking to you, is The Curse of Humpty Dumpty.
Hmm. Scott, again, this was during the pandemic, and he came up. This was not, because the way they work, sometimes they put an idea forward, or sometimes Uncorked or whoever's funding will give them a, you know, say we want a dinosaur film, or we want a whatever. But Curse of Humpty Dumpty was very much his idea, and he had it with me in mind when he put it together. So it was kind of bespoke a bit for me, which was lovely. And it was a really good character to get into. I loved it. Mm.
And you were phenomenal. I know that's, I guess, the very first film that I've seen you in that you're the heart of the story.
Mm.
You're the soul. You're the leader. You're the mama. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
And your son, if I remember correctly in my review, he kind of reminded me of Anthony Perkins from Psycho. His performance, his willingness to please his mother.
Who was my son? No, I had two daughters.
I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong one. Oh, God, what an idiot. I meant the other one.
You have me thinking then. I had Sean and Antonia.
Oh, my God. They all run together.
And I had lovely Danielle Scott as my sister-in-law.
Yes. And I think the cool part about this movie is it takes place in that museum. Is that what it was? A museum type?
No, it's in a house.
Oh, that's Jack in the Box. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box 2. But Jack in the Box 1 was in a museum. I wasn't in that one.
Right. Oh, my God.
So don't worry. It does get a bit
confusing. The Curse of Humpty Dumpty is, you had a past, am I correct?
I did. I've got Alzheimer's, isn't it? I'm moving the light a bit because it's getting really dark here. Sorry. So soon you won't be able to see me at all. So with Curse of Humpty Dumpty, my character has early onset dementia. And my two daughters decide to take me back. We obviously live in London, but you don't really see much of that. They decide to take me back to the old family house because being in the familiar surroundings, and they will be able to look after me. And gradually, we go quite early on in the film, we go to a sort of thrift shop or vintage shop, as we call them, and I pick up this horrific Humpty Dumpty doll, and it's clear that it's familiar to me in some way. And then when I get it home, things take a dastardly turn.
I love it.
But it definitely has a twist to it, that one. It's not just a scary doll film.
Right. And we really enjoyed that one. We did it in the Pick 'Em Up podcast, that movie there, and we both enjoyed it. My nephew was 15 at the time, so it's his first time he's actually watched an independent film. and I wanted to get his reaction from it, and he really took to it very well.
Oh, good. Good, good.
Now, Spider in the Attic, I've yet to watch. What's your experiences as Linda in Spider in the Attic?
Well, that was interesting because we did that, but again, this is all during COVID. We had the most manic year, just churning them out because there was nothing else happening. And we were away for 2 weeks and we did Spider in the Attic and Humpty Dumpty back to back in the same house.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So after we finished Humpty Dumpty, after about 7 days, I think we did seven, and we did Spiders in five. Some of the cast left. I don't think, was there anybody else who did both? I think maybe it was only me. And then I got joined by lovely Sarah Marks and Chelsea Greenwood as my next two daughters, who both, that was the first time I'd worked with Sarah, but I've worked with her since. I'd also worked with Chelsea before. And Kate Sanderson came up, Danielle joined us, and we kind of just went through that one. And that was more of Reese directed that one. That was one of his early ones because he was dabbling with VFX at the time, which of course has gotten way bigger now. But this was early days for him, and he was making the spider. I had this idea about the spider, and so it was his sort of early film. So he was directing, Scott was producing.
Yeah, I haven't got to watch that yet, but I will get on the list. You talked about The Gardener. That's probably what your only action film that you've done.
It is. Yeah.
And that has the has Bonzi in it, Bronzy in it. He kind of reminds me. Oh, he does. He hears it all the time. He looks like Charles Bronson.
He looks a lot like Charles. That's his trademark and what, you know.
Yeah. And explain your experiences as Lauren in The Gardener.
Well, I loved it because, again, it was a bit COVID. We were still a never-ending COVID. I think we were, it was getting more relaxed, but no, what am I doing? Lies. It was pre-COVID. That's why it was so easy. Yes. It was the one I was saying was in the March. So we were all together in that lovely, beautiful house. If you watch the film, the cast were fab. I was with Sarah again, playing my daughter, Jake, who I adore, playing my son, and it was just quite nice not to be covered in blood. And I mean, there's a bit of talk, you know, a bit of like being tied up, but it wasn't as exhausting as screaming caked in blood. It was just different. Yeah. And we had Michael Hogue there doing the fight direction, which was, again, although I don't do much fighting in it, it was a bit for me. So it was just a different experience. Yeah, very positive. I loved it.
Well, the next one,
I was doing an American accent in that one, which is always a challenge.
I'm definitely going to watch that one now. Good chance. The next one that we talked about briefly by accident was the Jack in the Box Awakening. Is a one that I can correctly say it right this time, as you were the major mother role, the lead, the
Olga.
Yes, you had you were dying of cancer.
That's the one.
And you made a deal with the Jack in the Box.
Yes.
In order for you to be healthy again.
Yes.
You what, six victims?
Yes. Or was it five? Then, five or six, yep.
And then your son
had
to help you. Mm-hmm. And his performance in there, I mentioned it earlier and I'll say it again, he kind of reminded me of the young Anthony Perkins.
Oh, it's him. Yes, I agree with you. Yeah, he's really good.
It was a phenomenal second film with Jack. Jack in the Box, the first one was good too, but I like The Awakening a lot better, only because the storyline changed and it was more about you getting healthy and sacrificing other people. Phenomenal, phenomenal movie. Great role.
I think it was a really good role. And the production value, I don't know about the budget, but certainly I watched the first one, obviously, because I wanted to see. This, by the way, to anyone watching who doesn't know, was not one of Scott's. It's, Lawrence, what's their production company. It's gone out of my head at the moment, but it's a different team that made that one. And they've just finished, I think, Jack in the Box 3.
No way.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's been a huge success, especially in, I think, some of the Spanish-speaking countries. It just does really well.
How's it going in America?
I don't know. I don't know, but I only found it following you. You probably know more than me. Yeah, but I think the production value looks higher on the second one than the first one. They have that amazing house, which sort of has wonderful textures in it. It just looks really good on screen.
Nice. And the next one is Bonzi again. This one, Exorcist Vengeance.
Yes.
You played Christine. You had a smaller role in here.
Yeah. Bronze is the lead.
Yeah, but just you showing up in that movie made it more family. Is that a good word to use?
That's a nice word, yeah.
Because I'll let the listeners, I can explain something. The listeners, this is a movie, it kind of throws you off. It really does. It has two stories into one, where it starts off with, I guess, the older lady got possessed, whatever, and the maid was trying to help, and then something happens to her, and she's possessed, but then the priest comes, which is Bonzi, and he's there to investigate, but there's also a killer on the loose as well. I think that movie was laid out so well that kind of confused you at first on what's really going on. It's not your typical Exorcist movie, and I think that's what makes it better, because after a while, these Exorcist movies get kind of old because it's always the same story, same thing, but this movie had a twist on it. What was your experience with Exorcist Vengeance?
Again, it was not, but I think the great thing is about these is that the team, you're often working with people you've worked with before, so it's a bit family-ish that you're coming back together. Yeah. We had a different DOP, but I'd worked with Nicole before, who played my niece in it, I think. Yes, she did. She'd been on Medusa. Who else was still there? Well, obviously Bronzy, who I'd worked with before. Bill, maybe there wasn't anybody else in the cast. Maybe the rest of them were new to me, but you get to know each other very quickly on these shoots. We're talking typically of about a 5 to 6 day, if you're lucky, 7. They're so quick. So you have to just get on with it.
Yeah, Sarah Alexander March plays Rebecca.
Oh, of course it was Sarah. Of course it was. And Sarah and I worked together before. And in fact, Sarah and I, earlier this year, she produced her first short that she wrote and directed, and it's just a little short with me and her playing mother and daughter.
Talk about it. Let us know.
She based it on her mum, and she said, you know, after we'd worked together, that it sort of sparked something, and it's about a mum that's got Alzheimer's, unfortunately, but it's got quite a good twist to it. Sarah works a lot with a director and filmmaker called Blake, and they often have almost they're sometimes a little bit sci-fi. There's always a little twist to them, and so she's sort of brought that. It's not just a typical Alzheimer's thing, but it's only about 9 minutes, 10 minutes, but it's good. Called Snowdrop. I think it's available on YouTube, probably.
Did you ever check out my YouTube channel where all the reviews are?
I haven't looked at. I did at the time when we spoke ages ago.
Yeah.
But I haven't looked recently. But I will.
If you want to subscribe, it'd be cool.
I will.
The reason why I said that is because I'm a big shark movie guy. Also, it doesn't matter if they're made from Asylum Records here in America, if they're goofy, if they're like, I mean, I reviewed Atomic Shark, Ice Sharks. You have one called Beneath the Surface, which I've not seen yet, but I forgot about it. I do have it.
I forgot about that. I remember now you've mentioned it.
Dr. Fran Goodman, you played Dr.
That one was one, I've probably forgotten about it because I was able to shoot all my scenes in one day because I'm the therapist. So although I'm dotted throughout the film, literally it was just for me, I've got nothing to do with the shark. I'm just sat in an office getting Georgia to recount to me, you know, what's going on in her mind. So Steph Lodge is in that one again, who was in Bad Nun, and Jamie Robertson. So, yeah, I didn't have any interaction with the shark.
Well, you had an interaction with dinosaurs in this next one, which I thought, you mentioned it earlier, which I thought was another movie where they went to go searching for her mom and dad. And there's also, it's not just about a dinosaur movie. It's also a virus that turns into zombies.
Yes, that's Jurassic.
Another one twist. Yeah. Exactly, Jurassic Island.
Yeah.
What was your experience about Jurassic Island now?
Well, that one was one, the one, as I said, we were supposed to be on some beautiful Mediterranean island, and we were in very, very damp Devon, or beyond Devon. No, where was it? Even further on, Dartmoor. So it was very wet, very soggy. that black stuff that comes out of my mouth was quite disgusting. It was fine. Again, I was with Sarah. Yeah, it wasn't for me the most. I just do a lot of running around.
Yeah. And
in the end, go a bit zombie like.
Yeah, that's
about it.
Well, the next one I watched is another dinosaur movie that I wasn't too sure about it. I checked it out and reviewed it. Kingdom of the Dinosaurs. This one, I think, what's cool about this one, I think, is they were all in that shelter for however long. I can't remember how long it was. And then they eventually go out to get food.
Yep.
And then that's where they encountered the dinosaurs. What was your experience with, you were Lindsay in Jurassic Island. I mean, excuse me, Sally in Dinosaurs.
So, yeah, that was... interesting. For me, I was in the bunker the whole time, so I never went out. So we used, it was fascinating. I can remember my son went there years ago with the Cubs or the Scouts or something, but basically it's Britain's biggest nuclear bunker, built during the Cold War. It goes down about 3 or 4 stories down underground. It's huge, 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 huge. And it was built to house the whole of the government and everything, that they would have all operated out of there had it got to a nuclear war. And it was on land that the farmer had no choice in, you know, the government just took it. And then when things obviously eased off, he basically bought it back from them and has turned it into a museum, because everything down there is as it was from years back. So the hospital set up, there's canteens, there's old computers, radios, there's signs that would say, you know, Ministry of Agriculture will be sat here, then whatever minister would be. It's incredible. So for us that were in there, it was a bit of a history lesson, and a sort of very claustrophobic, which actually is very useful for, you know, you as an actor to feel it, because, you know, the scenes where you're running, I mean, it looks, it does add, again, amazing production value, because to have built a set like that would have cost millions.
Oh,
it's amazing. So the bit where Chelsea gets stuck in the furnace, all of that area, that's all part of the sort of some sort of filtration room. I mean, as I said, I don't really know what makes it tick, but it was interesting. And I think, again, because of the concentration of the time scale with any of these films, you probably are bashing out your scenes within maybe I had 3 days there. The whole shooting period would have only been a week. So they moved on to Wales, which is what we'd used the same location for, one of the dragon ones, the first dragon one. So they went to Wales and shot those outdoor scenes that you were talking about, where they go looking for food. That was all shot in Wales. but I wasn't part of that. But I do think that was also one of the early films for Rees, who set up his own company as well, Dark Abyss. So again, when you're looking at some of these films, there'll be a separate bunch of them that come under the heading of the Dark Abyss production company, which is Rees's one. So you've got Rees's one, Scott's one, and Scott and Becky's one that I've worked for.
Rebecca Matthews, right?
Yeah, Rebecca Matthews, yeah, who's That's also a great actress herself.
Yep, Rebecca. And a good director, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's Curse of Jack Frost. I have not seen yet. You played Alba.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experience like in that?
That was last year. That was the last one I did, other than having done Winnie the Pooh 2 recently. So I've had quite a big gap. Oh my God,
don't say that. We're not talking about that. I love Winnie the Pooh.
Well, I'll tell you all about it in a minute. So Jack Frost, I don't know that that one's done terribly well, actually. I think that's sort of probably got lost amongst others. We shot some of it in the same place that we'd used for Curse of the Genie, or whatever that one was called, Conjuring the Genie. So in a sort of a converted church that's a house. And I, again, Sarah Cohen was in it, and Lauren Stark and Richard. So I didn't know Lauren before that, but I knew Richard and I knew Sarah. And we did it as usual in a quite short time. I mean, it was quite a nice role for me. I'm again, mum. Ooh, it's a fly. Yeah. It wasn't, I think, the thing is, I think we were staying in caravans at night and it's all night shoots. So if I say, was it that enjoyable? There are moments, night shoots and me don't, I'm not a great lover of them because I can't sleep. A lot of the other people, these certainly the young ones, go to bed at 6 a.m. and don't wake up till 2 or 3 p.m. I can't do that. I go to bed at 6 and by 10, ba-doing, I'm awake and then... I was in a caravan, bored, there's nobody else about, and just kind of killing time and eating food until people wake up and then off to set. You start again at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the word killing. That's the next movie we're going to talk about. And I haven't get to watch it, but I've seen a trailer. The Killing Tree.
I wasn't in that. All I did, it's down on IMDb, but literally as a favor, I did a tiny bit of voice work on one of the trees.
Yes, Angel.
I've never even seen the film, so I can't tell you anything about that one because I haven't seen it. And all I did was go, I don't know, even don't even remember what the lines were. Something like, hello, hello, you know. Ooh. That was it. Oh. So, yeah, cut on that one.
Well, then we can go move forward. You had a movie that we talked about when we first picked up the phone call. Fire NATO. I've yet to watch that one yet, but it looks interesting. You played Helena.
I did. That was fun. That's a fun movie. So that's a kind of disaster movie, which again is different for them. It came under Rees's one. So again, he was dabbling a lot with the special effects and it was one of his. Production value was amazing. We shot it in Scotland, beautiful, including the most amazing castle. The scenery is just stunning. And I was with my lovely Sean, who is one of, you know, Sean, Megan and Sarah. My Sarah Marks are just adorable. So I was with Sean on that one. And again, some other people who are great, who I'd had sort of cross paths with in the past, but it's a fun movie, very different. I mean, sort of running around warning everybody about an impending fire NATO as opposed to a dinosaur or anything else that might be coming. This time it's a tornado that then becomes a fire NATO, and Sean, Toby, myself and one other spoiler, who doesn't last very long, who's very funny, Derek. We are the scientists who are experimenting and basically make this fire, this tornado bigger and bigger, and then it gets out of control.
Oh, I want to see that.
But then
so
there's
bad.
Another story alongside. It's got two threads to it, and we do interweave.
Nice. Now, you did some TV too, right? You did Malpractice, an episode, and Lockwood and Company.
Malpractice, I did one episode in, and Scott, as an actor, is in all of it. So, he's great in it. Really good. A brilliant series directed by Philip Barantini, who did Boiling Point, the film, the short film, and now the TV series. He's incredible to work with. Yeah. Lockwood, tiny part. So, and then more recently, I did Sexy Beast for Paramount Plus, which is going to be in. Do you know the film Sexy Beast? It was about 2001 to Ray Winston and Ben Kingsley. Great.
I might.
Good British film. Really, really good. About a gangster who tries to retire and turn his back on it all to Spain, and then Ben Kingsley's character comes back, ropes him in for another job. Well, the Paramount Plus series is a prequel. So it's set in 1992, and the characters are in their early 30s. So I'm a mum to one of the characters who is younger, obviously, in the series.
Mm. I use Paramount Plus for a lot of things, so I will definitely check it out.
I mean, it was a big old budget job. I think it's huge.
Now let's talk about some future projects. what have you done and is not out yet that you're able to talk about?
Well, Sexy Beast I can talk about, because that was obviously that, you know, they put out all the details about that. But I don't know when that will actually come. Then I did a beautiful film for Rebecca Matthews. In the meantime, set up another production company as well, EMRJ. And we did a film in January this year. It's a period. It is horror, but not like massively horror. It's a very strong drama.
Right.
As set in Victorian time. So I play the housekeeper, Mrs. Gray. And it looks beautiful from what I've seen so far. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
And that is what? The Monster Beneath Us?
The Monster Beneath Us. Yeah.
I'm going to check that out.
And then there's a comedy series called Trying, which is on Apple TV, which I did an episode of.
I had that too.
Yeah.
I get it for free.
Then there's a film called, Alborosa, which I'm going to a screening of soon, where that's a true story of, Grace. So I don't know if you remember, it was quite a long time ago now, in Tunisia, there was the horrific killing of quite a few tourists on the beach. And Grace, the character, this woman was out there with her husband, and her husband was killed. And it's really just a journey of her bereavement as an older lady who just wants to shut down, literally can't cope with it, and her son trying to bring her back to life, to facing life again. It's a very gentle story, but I loved playing that part. So it'll be interesting to see that one. And then I did a murder mystery musical, and that one also... I'm seeing a screening of it later. Now that's very out of the ordinary for me, because I don't sing. When they first approached me, I'd worked for this director many times before, and he asked me, and I said, "Well, no, that's not going to happen, because I can't sing." So off he went, and they shot the bulk of the film, but the character he wanted me for was in flashback and has two numbers. So after auditioning several people, he came back and said, "Please, can you do it? But you can lip sync." So rise to the challenge. Okay, yes, I can do that.
Millie Vanilli.
And then that was what I had to do. So we shall see. But it was written by an author called Sophie Hannah, who's a multi-million pound selling author who writes murder mysteries. And she'd written this originally, I think, as a play. Anyway, it's independent. She has funded it. And I think it will go to Amazon.
Nice.
So there's that. What else?
We'll save the big one for last. How's that?
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about.
How about the you did the porcelain presents?
Now that's a funny one. I've still not seen it. What can I say? It was made donkey's years ago. I think 10 years ago.
Really?
And they finished it finally, but I don't know what's happened to it. Haven't seen it. Can't tell you anything about it other than I can't tell you anything really.
That's funny you said that because I did a movie called Shatter. Mm-hmm. We shot it in 2012 and it finally got released last February.
Oh my goodness.
And I played a psychiatrist in it. And you gotta check it out. I'll send you a link. There's And I played a psychiatrist in it. And when you see yourself on the screen, you tend to pick at yourself. You know what I mean? You do it. Don't tell me you don't because I know you do.
No, I do.
I've done that better. Blah, blah, blah. We're human, we all do that. So I watched it. And I did voiceover with the cop on the phone for majority of the movie. And then right where the main scene is at the end, the big scene. And I was watching myself and thinking, damn, Scott, for your second film, that's pretty damn good.
Well, that's good.
I was like, wow. Because I hate seeing myself on TV, but I thought I did very well on that one. So I know what it's like to have a movie that you waited forever for it to come out.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm funny enough, I bumped into them at a screening of a film that I did last year at a film festival, and they said it's all finished. So I don't know what's happened to it. There's a great short, actually. I don't know whether it's where it's available, that I shot in France. It is a bit of a horror, ghosty horror, but I loved it. Called Fallen Woman. I'll send you a link if I can find. I'm sure I've got it somewhere. Is really good for a short. Now, it's a long short, but it's good.
I've noticed, we're going to talk about the big one right now. When I reviewed the first one, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, but I watched and reviewed it and I freaking loved it. And it's a big hit on my YouTube channel. It's getting hit all over the world listening to it. And then there's a couple people, which they're out there. They're trolls. They're idiots. They're morons. They don't understand anything about independent film or anything at all. And it's amazing how somebody who goes from watching, I always make this as sarcasm. They go from watching these glittered vampires that are not even a horror movie. You know what I'm talking about, that just came out. They go from that to watching Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. You can't compare the movies. You're going from a super high budget to an independent film that you have to. I've been doing this for 13 years.
Yeah.
I can't believe it myself. It's been that long reviewing independent films and so forth. And me being an actor myself, we understand the behind the scenes of budgets and what you have to do to make it to work. If you don't experience that, you're not going to understand anything about a movie. And that's why I look at it. I loved Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, because it was so different. And now there's a part two, which you're in, and you play Daphne Robin.
I do.
I am dying to see this.
Well, you probably won't have to wait too long because I think they are trying to have it ready. The plan is for February, and I don't think this is a spoiler, February the 14th, 24.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So I have to confess, I hadn't seen the first one. And I, like you, had read the reviews. The funny thing is, when it's Reese's baby, in a way. I mean, obviously Scott's producing it, but Reese sort of has helmed this one. And when he said that, we were all kind of like, Winnie the Pooh? Oh, about that. Will that be a hit? Well, of course, it went mega viral. And as you said, I think it was never meant to be critiqued by things, people like The Guardian over in the UK, or we've got, you know, Mark Kermode, one of the top film critics, they would never have normally watched any of, you know, any of the ones we just talked about, because it's on their radar.
Yeah.
And so suddenly they're reviewing a film which is clearly an independent, low budget, but putting expectations on it of a bigger one. So of course it's going to get a certain amount of negative press from the mainstream. Yeah. But the good thing was, because it went so viral, then it opened up a lot of doors for Scott and Reese, which hopefully will continue taking them down a bigger path with bigger budgets. And so Winnie the Pooh 2 had already been talked about, but they were able to put more money, ITN put more money into that and the next two that are penned and ready, which again, I don't think people know that they're going to be doing Peter Pan and Bambi. That's not a secret. So Winnie the Pooh 2 has definitely got more money. So again, I think it's well known, I'm not saying anything I shouldn't, that the prosthetics they're amazing. The people who did it work on really big films and series. So you haven't got just a mask. And we've got an incredible cast, actually. You've got Simon Callow, which again, that's been revealed. Scott himself is playing Christopher Robin. You're right, I am Daphne Robin, his mother. He's got a couple of the cast from Malpractice who are in on it. So I'm really excited. Really.
I am too.
I'm hoping that all those people who ripped off the first one will slightly have to say, okay, it's different.
As a reviewer, you know, I'm well known here in the United States. If you type in Grisha Herzog in Google browser, you'll see everything I've done. I'm not saying that I'm a big time celebrity or nothing, but I've seen, when I like watching movies, reviewing them, that are like no budget, because I like to see heart by the filmmaker. If you can just make a movie and get it done and get it out there, that's accomplishment.
It's an incredible achievement.
And I love horror movies. I love independent horror movies. I'm a big fan of UK horror and Australian horror. There's a little bit different than ours over here. British take more of a gamble, I think, over the years. And I think it's why I got hooked into you and Scott Jeffrey and Becca Matthews, because there's always a movie to watch. You know,
they're incredible. I think Scott's made over 100 movies in 11 years.
I went way back to Unhinged.
That's a great film.
Yes. And I love her. She was also the nun in Bad Nun. She was great in there. I'm just a big fan of your work. I'm not saying that because I'm talking to you. I've told you numerous times over Facebook over the months that it's why I contacted you, because you're very close to my age. We're from the same era. And I like to talk people, it's my era, that understands from the 80s to now.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same style. I'm an 80s cheese guy. Can't help it. 80s music, 80s everything. Movies that really... I would love for Scott Jeffrey to do in the future is do an 80s throwback movie, an 80s throwback slasher. I watched one the other day. It's called Final Summer. The filmmaker contacted me and sent me a screener, and it was based in 1981. Now, you know how 1981, the lower budget movies from the 80s would bring the knife would go up and you see no blood and all you hear is someone screaming.
Yeah.
Those movies are to my heart. because back then that's all they had. And I love that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be gory for me to enjoy a horror movie.
Most no, I agree.
Mostly a good story behind it. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I will say is I've noticed, I'm dying to see, have you heard about they're making a Wizard of Oz horror movie too called Oz?
No.
Yes, I saw some clips on it. I see the articles. I cannot wait to see that too.
That would really be cool. Good. I think Scott and Reese, by doing Winnie the Pooh, opened up, you know, it. Whether you like it or don't.
Right.
At the end of the day, up until now, horrors, you know, we've done vampires, we've done werewolves, we've done killer clowns. Exactly. This is a new, opened up a whole new thing that as long as it's within, you know, the licensing and the whatever it is that they're allowed to do it, I think you're going to see many fairy stories and children's stories now. I mean, they've started it a bit, Scott certainly, with The Curse of Humpty Dumpty, although, you know, it's not, Humpty Dumpty isn't a story as we know it, like Winnie the Pooh. But, you know, they did Mary Had a Little Lamb. So they started on the nursery rhyme theme, Three Blind Mice, and then the fairy tales. And I think loads of other people are going to jump on it now. We're going to see a whole load, I suspect, because it's different.
Excellent. Well, I am looking forward to seeing Winnie the Pooh, and we'll have you on again. I'm sure
you
have
like
18,000 more movies coming.
I hope so.
But that's not being sarcastic either. I just adore you. I love your work, and you're very, very fun to talk to.
Thank you.
So I'll get this thing edited, and I'll get it up into YouTube. By the way, I'm also on, it's weird, with YouTube is, in order for me to make it on YouTube, I have to make it as an MP4. So
right.
Also on Spotify, I'm on Amazon, I'm on all of them. So people can not just go on YouTube, they can get anywhere to listen to the interview and listen to my reviews. But I want to give you a special thanks for coming on. I apologize for a little bit of trouble. It's the first time
I'm using this. Oh, it's fine. We got there in the end, didn't we? It's good. Yeah, we got there. I feel like I'm getting brighter and brighter as the evening goes. Oh, it's pitch black outside now, so I've just got this sad little light trying to – there you go. But
you – yeah, so, again, thank you very much for coming on. Just keep in touch.
Will do. Yeah, if I get a link, I'll send it over to you.
If you want to spread it to your – if any of your cast members want to come on, have them contact me. They're more than glad to come on.
Oh, I'll have a word with them because, as you know, we all, you know, there's a lot of us that are very much in touch. And that's the amazing thing. It's built up a good old friendship group. It's like we're a little company, which is what Scott always wanted, to be honest. He wanted it like an American Horror Story company of actors that are working together, playing different roles. So.
And it makes it so much easier for you to go into a movie that you already work with that actress. You know how they tick. They know how you are. It's easy chemistry. I've always said that.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, I will. Any links I think that will be relevant just for you personally, I'll send you, because there's a couple of others. When you said no budget, I've got two that I really would recommend. One called Webcast and one called Hunter's Lodge. And literally we made them, we're talking hundreds of pounds. Well, not so much Webcast because he had to pay more in post, but Hunter's Lodge was done on literally about 150 quid. There's a whole story behind that one.
I can't wait to see it.
All right.
Thanks, Nikki.
Take care.
Take care of yourself. Talk soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.